I love you guys. I love this church. You guys have jumped into this 50 days of transformation all forceful. I mean, it's really a great time, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing, and I just love you guys, the way you guys just accept the challenge, and you just jump right in. And this is a great time in our life because we are challenged to grow spiritually. We want to grow in our relationship with God. It's not enough just to cross up a line and now I'm a Christian, and you kick back, prop your feet up, and watch the world go by. That's not what God designed us for. It's that relationship with God that he's designed us for, and we're trying to grow, and that's what this is about. We're going to try to grow in these seven different areas of our life, and so this week, you did a spiritual kind of challenges to grow challenging, and one of the challenges you have is memory work. Anybody doing good on their memory work? I don't see much confidence in that one. Yeah, we got some memory verses, so guess what we're going to practice this morning? I believe practice makes perfect, right? And so we're going to practice our memory work this morning. So we're going to begin with the over-encompassing memory verse, Romans 12, verse 2. You know how we do this. If you're our guest this morning, let me lay it out. We'll quote the address or that reference. We quote the verse, and we quote the reference once again, if I remember. All right? And so we're going to try, and this is our memory verse that kind of over-encompasses the whole thing. And so I'll go 1, 2, 3, and we'll just start. You guys ready? Everybody nod your head. 1, 2, 3. Romans 12:2. Do conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we're trying to... I did it again! I don't know why, I just struggle with that. And we're trying to transform our life. I want to transform spiritually. I want to transform physically, emotionally, mentally, vocationally. You know, we got these seven things we're targeting in our lives that we want to get in line with God and get in line with him. And this week, we talked about, so you kind of wrapped up 7 days of devotionals and kind of wrapped up that time in your home group. And we had another memory verse. It's going to show up right now. It's another one, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anybody good with that one? So let's do this one together. The reference, the scripture, and of course, the reference. All right, here you ready? 1, 2, 3. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All right, you guys are awesome, man. This is good. And we want to grow in these areas. And so you want to grow spiritually. You set a goal. I'll share my goal. I already told my group, and my goal is I want a journal. I want a spiritual journal for 30 days. And I've done it in the past, and it's kind of like you start and you go for a month, quit. And I you need to know, it's one of those habits you start 100 times and you keep starting again. Yeah. And so I'm having fun with it, making my journal. So that was my challenge for my spiritual growth. This morning I want to talk about our physical health. All right, I want us to kind of turn our attention to that physical health that we desire to be healthy. I don't know about you, but I want to live a long life. Anybody here want to live a long life? So some of you want to die really quick, huh? Yeah, we want to live a long life, and so there's some things we can do to make ourselves healthy. Now, when I mention physical health, the first thing that comes to my mind, and maybe to yours, is my weight. Anybody on board with that one? You know, you think about your physical health, you think about your weight. Well, there's really just two things you can do to make you healthy weight-wise. You have to eat right and exercise. That's it. If I just eat right and exercise, I can't even do two things right, right? Anybody on that one? They brought out a box of See's candy on Friday. We were at a little gathering, and they opened a brand new box of See's candy, and in 30 minutes I ate 5 pieces. Exercise, I walked up and down the hill. All right, and we fight with that, but there's another physical health that we need to worry about. That's how about stress? Does stress cause physical health issues in your life? Stress can cause ulcers, headaches, blood pressure, stress can cause all sorts of health issues for you. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to think about stress. We know physically, I know I need to eat better. I know I need to eat right. And I did the Daniel plan and lost about 17 pounds. You know, it found me not long after that, but I lost it and it came back. But, you know, I need to do it again. But I did a Daniel plan. I watched what I ate. I got exercise. And you know, I bought a little 10-pound barbell. And, I did all sorts of stuff. You know, I got on an elliptic machine and I lost 17 pounds. So we know what to do there, but what about stress? How do we deal with stress in our lives? I like this scripture here. Let me hear you get your outlines out. You can follow along. And it says this in Proverbs 14:13. Peace of mind makes your body healthy. Peace of mind makes your body healthy. See, do we associate that? That stress. We live in a very stressful world. Wouldn't you agree? And you know, as I thought stress we face, I kind of categorized in seven areas, all right? One of the high stresses in our life is worry. Anybody here ever worry? Anybody got kids, grandkids, job, family, friends, debt? Anybody got, don't raise your hand on that one, you know, debt. You know, we worry, we stress, and we worry, and it causes issues in our life. You go home and you get a headache. You know, you go home and your stomach's in knots. You know, and worry, and it causes us stress in our lives. Another thing I put down here as I thought about stress in our lives, we live in a world where everything's in a rush. Anybody in a hurry? Hurry, hurry, hurry. I mean, you know, you go down the freeway. Does anybody drive 65 down the freeway? You know? Not me, okay? Just so you know, I'll be honest. Not me, all right? I mean, we're in a hurry to go anywhere and everywhere. You buy things on the internet, on Amazon. How many days does it take to get there? And when it's not there, in 2 days. You know, am I right? You know, pretty soon we're going to have drones flying over, same day delivery. They're shooting for same day delivery. You know, we live in this world where it's just hurry, hurry, hurry. You know, and so much to do and not enough time to do it. And we get stressed. I wanted it yesterday. Why, you know? And we live in this hurry, and it causes stress in our lives, and we worry about that. We're living in a crowded world. It just, you know, like I said, I went to the Bay Area on Friday, and I was blessed because I didn't have to drive. All right? So I didn't have much stress. But you get on the freeway, and we get up to Altamont, and guess what? It's not even commute time. You know, it's 9:30, 10:30, and it's stop traffic. You know, it's just crowded. Our world, you know, it's like, I was reading some articles. It averages out that people will spend 52 hours a year stopped in traffic. We live in our world, and it's becoming a really, I think we've seen it during the election. We're in a bipolar world. You got the coast, and you got something in between. You know, they call it the flyover area. And everybody's moving from the countries, and everybody's moving out of the farming area, and moving. We're urbanizing. You know, and we live in the. And I did some. It was really interesting. You know, you go back to the 1800s. There was one city with 1 million people in it in the 1800s. London. There's over 500 cities now, with 1 million people. Go to Tokyo. There's 36 million in Tokyo. You know how many people live in California? 36 million people. Can you imagine putting all of California in the city of Tokyo? Mexico City, 35 million people. Does crowds mess you up? Stress you out? You know, and then just all these crowds and all the people. How about multiple choices? How many have an argument after church? Don't raise your hand, it's rhetorical, okay? Where we're going to go eat. Well, you decide. No, you decide. Well, I don't care. Then you pick the one and... Well, I don't want to go there. Well, then why did you said you didn't care? Anybody ever have those discussions after church? You know, multiple choices. You know, we can go anywhere. We go everywhere. There's just so many options, so many things. You know, I like Henry Ford. You could get your Model T any color you wanted as long as it was black. Seriously, that's what he said. You know, that we live in this world and there. You know, go buy Tooth Target. They got a whole 30-foot line of toothpaste. from floor 6 foot tall. 60 plus toothpaste. Yeah. You want whitener? Brightener. You know, you want minty fresh or, I don't know, peppermint. I don't know. You know, we have all these. You ever stress out over choices? You know, which direction do I go? I just can't make up my mind. Anybody ever stress over that? We stress over multiple choices and just all the choices we have to make. I put down here, how about the loss of privacy? Can you go anywhere today? Anybody here got a cell phone? Yeah, I see some hands go up with cell phones. Some of you guys are liars. Because I know you got one. All right, the kids are honest. You know what? Yeah, the kids are honest. They'll pop their hand right up. But you know what? If you go somewhere with your cell phone, they know where you're at. I watch those cop shows, you know, and they're investigating somebody, and they'll see what tower that thing pinged off of, and they know where you're at. How about cookies on a computer? We got to worry about this. You go back years ago, they never had to worry about any of this. You know, now you got to worry about internet security. Somebody's going to steal your identity. Anybody? You know, that privacy, you know, we worry about. I don't Facebook. You know, I don't post where I'm at on Facebook. You know, I don't want people knowing where I, you know. Now, when I get back, Laura posts pictures. She goes, can I post it? No, wait. You know. But our privacy, that invasion, we can't go anywhere. Everybody knows where you're at. You know, some of you have kids, you know, you know, it's like, I love those commercials on TV. It's like, okay, I know where my kid is. They're not where they're supposed to be. Yeah, you got that little tracking thing on the phone, kids. You better watch out. But we lost that privacy. We live in this pluralistic world. You know, if you go back years ago, everybody was pretty much the same. We all kind of thought the Bible was kind of like, you know, when I grew up, everybody knew what the Bible was. You know, everybody knew it was God's word. You know, I never, you know, it was the Bible. I remember growing up, and I remember going to school in Sacramento, and we had Meatless Fridays. Somebody said it. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember Meatless Fridays? Because there was a faith that said you can't eat meat. Even though I wasn't of that faith, we had Meatless Fridays. Did it bother me? No. Grilled cheese sandwiches. You know, that's what you got on Friday. Anybody remember the grilled cheese sandwiches on Friday? You know, but we live in this pluralistic world, and we don't have any respect for anybody. This world's crazy. It's rude. There's no civility anymore. Look at the stress in our world with that. And the last one I put down here, how about the fear of the future? I mean, this is a big one. I'm not going to go political on this thing, but we got a new, everybody's afraid of what the future is going to be. I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? I do know one thing. And I'm going to talk about it in the message. I know who's on the throne. Okay. You know what? I don't know. I don't care who's on this throne here. I do care, but I'm not going to worry about that. Because I know who's on the throne. You might think you can get away with some things, even as president, but I'm going to tell you what. Somebody can reel it in real quick. All right? But we worry about all the future. What's my future? What am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to go? We worry. We get hurried. We get all this stuff going on in our lives. And we get stressed. And we go home with headaches. We get ulcers. We get high blood pressure and our heart races. Anybody have stress in their life? You come this morning and it's like, I got so much. I got to get all this done. And then there's a football game. And it's going to mess up my day, but I got to watch that game. Yeah. Root for Atlanta, right? All right, I got a bunch on with me. All right. We're going to have a good day. Yeah. But we're going to stress. Just so you know, I'll be honest. I cannot watch football. I've told some of you guys this, some of my home group. I cannot watch football. I don't care who the teams are, especially when it's the Cowboys, God's team, all right? All right. You know, Dallas's old stadium, let me tell you something. Dallas's old stadium, before they built a new one, had an opening. You know why they put the opening in that old stadium like that? So God could watch his team play. I could tell you all sorts of good jokes there. But I'm serious. I cannot sit there and watch football on TV. I'll record the game. If Dallas wins, I'll play it. They lose, forget it, delete it. Laura, go through and check the score, and I'll walk through. Turn it off. I don't want to walk. Because I'll get sucked in, and then I start yelling and jumping in my heart. You know, I'm crazy. Anybody get crazy with life? Stress drives us bananas. You know, and we worry about it. So what are we going to do? So what I want to do this morning is I'm going to look at a passage in the Scripture that I believe can help us. That can help us move through stress. What's interesting, last week we're looking at some of the most famous passages in the Bible. You know, last week we looked at the prodigal son, right? And we kind of seen some teachings out of the prodigal son. This morning I want to look at Psalms 23. I want to think about Psalms 23. Here's one of the Psalms. Probably, you know, there's some things, you know, you can mention John and you get John 3:16. You mention Psalms and the first thing that's coming to mind is Psalms 23. And it's probably hung on there because there's so much comfort. And so I want us to kind of walk through Psalms 23, step by step, verse by verse, and see what it says that makes it stick, that can help us with in our lives. Here's what it says, and you can follow along with your outline there. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful waters. He renews my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the dark valley of death, because you are with me, I will fear no harm. Your rod and your staff give me courage. You prepare a banquet for me while my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and mercy will stay close to me all the days of my life, and I will remain in the Lord's house for the days without end. Now, I've got that memorized in the King James, and you can see I almost stumbled trying to read it in this God's Word. But I liked some of the wording here, and I want us to look at it, because I think this Psalms addresses those seven areas of stress in our life. I think this Psalms can kind of minister and comfort that worry, that hurry, that pluralistic society. I think the Psalms can address those seven things in our life that can help us find a peace and find some rest in the midst of our stress. So if you're looking at your outline, I want to put it this way. Before I start off right off the bat, look to God to meet all your needs. We worry, we get stressed. I need this, and I've got to go here, and these people over here, and we get so stressed over our needs. I need money, I need people, and we get so stressed over the needs. A job, a home, shoes, you know, a new TV to watch the, you know, I want a 70-inch, I want an 80-inch TV to watch the Super Bowl on. I need, you know, people, just so you know, people need a new TV to watch Super Bowl. The stores will tell you, they will go out and buy that 80-inch TV, watch the game, and then take it back to the store and say something's wrong with it. Do you know people do that? Yeah. We worry about stuff. We stress over stuff. But here, what do we have here? It says, look at that scripture, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need. I like the way it said that. I'm never in need. I have all my needs. Now, I got a lot of wants. Anybody got a lot of wants like me? You know, I got wants. It didn't say I'm going to get all my wants. But God's going to take care of all my needs. See, we need to stop worrying and start trusting God. On God. You can't count on your job. I'm going to tell you. Why do you count on things you can lose? Why do we depend on things we can lose? You can lose your job. You can lose your credit. Somebody steals your identity and you lose your credit. Am I right? You can lose all sorts of things. But can you lose God? No. God's always there. See, I love the shepherd. He's saying, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need. I like the way he says that. Look again at the scripture. It says this. See, he did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also surely give us everything we need? If he sent Jesus to die, his own son to die on the cross, that I could spend all eternity with him, He gave that greatest sacrifice of all, his one and only son. Won't he give us everything else? He's painting this beautiful picture here. God, here are your needs. Why worry? Does worry help? Does worry solve? Does worry give you anything other than a headache? A heartache? What does worry provide for you? We need to turn to God and trust Him. He meets our needs. Look again at what it says here. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. Your strength's in your job, right? Your strength's in your bank account. Your strength's in your credit report. Your strength's in your wife, your husband. Your strength's in that relationship. Is that what it says? You can lose all those things. You need to put your strength in God and quietness and confidence. I'm going to ask you, where's your quietness and confidence? Where's your quietness and confidence? So I'm going to challenge you. Worry. Worry. Let's not worry. Let's just say, the Lord is my strength. How about the second one there? I put it this way. You need to obey God's instructions about rest. We talked about a world that's hurry, 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 everything, go, go, go. I like this one because this one justifies my Sunday afternoon nap. Anybody take a Sunday afternoon nap besides me? Yeah. Look at what he says here. He makes me, and I circled that. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Here's what I want to tell you. I circled that word for this reason. If you don't rest, your body's going to make you. You know what I'm saying? Your body's going to shut down. You know, God could have created us to never sleep. Energizer bunny. Just wind us up and send us off. And we just bounce around through the world. Never resting, never stopping. Just go, 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 go. But God created us, and He created us to rest. Why do we glorify, I can survive on 4 hours of sleep. Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. Why do we glorify that? Why do we exalt this hurried world? See, we need to kind of step back and realize rest is okay. We shouldn't feel guilty when we rest. Jesus rested. Did anybody read the Bible there where he went under the mountainside, pulled his disciples apart, let's go across to the other side so we can get away and rest from the crowds? Anybody read those stories there of Jesus? Yeah. We shouldn't feel guilty when we rest. You know, we shouldn't feel bad. Well, I took a nap. Oh man, you're lazy. You know? I like a good nap. I love Sunday afternoon naps. I took a nap yesterday afternoon. Went shopping at Macy's looking for a dress to wear at a wedding. Not for me. Not for me. And since it wasn't for me, my opinion didn't count much, but I gave it anyway. You know, come home, stopped by the church, did a few things down here, went home, and I'm telling you, I crawled into bed and took a nap. Naps are good. We need to rest. It's okay to rest. It's okay to relax. We need to do. As a matter of fact, you need to understand this. You know, God gave the Big Ten. Anybody know the Big Ten? Number four on the Big Ten. Anybody know number four on the Big Ten? You know, thou shalt have no other God before me. You should not make any graven image in me. The Lord's name in vain. And you are to remember the Sabbath and do no work. God rested as an example. God rested as an example. Did God need to rest after he created the world in 6 days? Did God say, man, I'm tired. This is hard work. I'm going to have to sit down. No, God don't need to rest. But he modeled it for us. Yeah. We need to rest. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what day you take, but you need to take a day to rest. There's a thing called burnout. Anybody been in burnout? And I'm not talking about tires on a car burning out on the street, okay? You know, I'm talking about you just burned out. I'm done. I'm fried. I can't do anymore. I can't take it anymore. I'm through. Anybody been in those boats besides me? We need to rest, and God called us to rest. Look at it says, you have 6 days in which to do your work, but do not work on the seventh day, not even during plowing time or harvest. Ron, when I read that, I thought about you. It's saying, not even during your busy time should you stop and not rest. I remember when Bill would fly, and he would tell me, when Bill Yundell, one of the, he used to be in our church, passed away, was a crop duster. Some of the farmers would not let him spray on Sunday. Literally, some of the farmers would not let him spray on Sunday. He could do it any other day, but you're not going to spray mine on Sunday. It was a day of rest. Even when it's your busiest time. If you're a CPA and it's tax time, you still need to take a day off. Well, I got too many to do. No. Whatever it is, you need to understand, God told us we need to rest. There's a time to rest. So you get a picture here? Don't worry. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I have everything I need. And then there's a time to rest. He leads me beside quiet pastures. But not only that, here's this third one here. Recharge your soul with beauty. How refreshing is it to see a sunset? Anybody? What does that do to you? You sit there, you go out to the beach or somewhere, or you know, and you watch this down, you know, the various colors as it goes down, and it's just relaxing. Sunrise. Driving down Highway 5, looking over at the snow-capped mountains. Isn't that kind of neat? Anybody? You know, and just the beauty. See, God created this big, beautiful world. Why do you think he made a beautiful world? God could have made an ugly world. Anybody watch Star Wars? Anybody? Luke Skywalker? Anybody know who Luke Skywalker is? Yeah. Anybody know the planet Luke Skywalker's from? I had to write this down. Tatooine. He's from Tatooine. Anybody remember that? Just a little dome in the middle of this desert. No color, no nothing. Did I get it right? Is it Tatooine? Come on. Tatooine, okay, whatever. I even went on the internet and pushed the button to pronounce it for me. Tried to write it phonetically here. But look at that place. Desert, nothing. God could have created a world like that. Here you go. Woo, have fun there. But he created a beautiful garden we call Eden, didn't he? Look at our world. Look at the beauty in our world. One day I had to have some time when I was going to school, and I parked at Fort Baker on the north side of the Golden Gate Bridge, and I drove around, and it's, you know, and I parked, and I'm sitting there out, and here's this mountain going down and into the ocean, and sticking out of the side of the mountain is the Golden Gate Bridge, and I'm just sitting there, and I was just reading the creation story, and I just sat there and thought about, here's the ocean, how God created, how beautiful. Here's this beautiful mountain. And I'm going to tell you, the Golden Gate Bridge looked beautiful, sticking out of the side of the mountain. See, it's refreshing. We need to enjoy the beauty. We need to enjoy that. Look at what he says. He makes me lie down in green. He leads me beside peaceful water. He renews my soul. Beauty has this way of refreshing. That's what I love about this psalm. He's painting a beautiful picture. He didn't say, hey, let's go down to the financial district in San Francisco and walk around the skyscrapers on California and Embarcadero and see the hand of God. He didn't say that. But has anybody ever said, you know what, when I'm in, it just feels like God's right there. Anybody ever say something like that? See, that beauty is a refreshing. That beauty says something to us. And we need to see that in our lives. We need to see that in what we do. Look again what it says. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do best by filling your minds with meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. But let me ask you, your alarm goes off in the morning, right? It's time to get up and get ready for school, get ready for work. and you turn the TV on and you watch the news. Isn't the news so encouraging right now? Doesn't that show us the beauty of our world? You turn your radio on, it goes, and then all of a sudden, here's all the news. And let me give you a little hint. Don't turn the radio, or if you do, turn it to a Christian station. Listen to some good music that God's inspired. Would that make your day more beautiful? Yeah. The green pastures, the still water. We need to see that. We need to start our day in that quietness and that opportunity. And then we need to put beauty around us. We need to put some things around us that refresh us, that encourage us, and pictures. I have pictures on my walls at my house. And it's pictures of, anybody can imagine, my grandkids and my wife and I and the kids and all of us. And some of you are in the pictures. They're all of one specific place, though. All right, you're in the picture. Some of you are in the picture. But in order to get in my picture, guess where you got to go? Disneyland. Every on the wall in my house is my family or my friends at Disneyland. That's refreshing to me. It is. You need that. Let me tell you something. You need a place that goes refreshing. Now, we're all different. I go to Disneyland and I turn into a kid. Some of you have been there. I'll jump up and down and run around. I do. Yeah. Some of you don't get into Disneyland. That's okay. I'm going to pray for you, okay? But you need to find that place that brings beauty out for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever it is. Whatever. If it's going to the mountains and sitting by the lake with a fishing pole, go do it. Go do it. If it's going and watching the Giants play baseball. Don't do it. No, go do it. Go do it. Whatever refreshes you, you got to surround yourself by the beauty. See, so you guys, Giants fans, know I say they're beautiful. See, I get some for that, right? Come on. Give me some love. All right? You know, but we got to surround ourselves with beauty. It makes a difference in our life. What is it for you? I don't know what it is for you. I don't know where that place is for you. But you start your day with positive, with some affirmation, not the ugliness of our world. I'm going to tell you, I think our world is ugly right now. I don't know about you guys, but this is an ugly place right now. You know? But I'm going to tell you, God's on his throne, and I can listen to some songs. God knows my name. I can listen to some songs that encourage me and inspire me. You know? I can go to a place that just lifts my spirit, the happiest place on earth. So I just encourage you to look for that beauty. Look for those great things. Don't be filled with this ugliness of our world. You know, just so you know, coming up to the election, I quit watching the news. And I watched a little bit after the election, but I've pretty much turned the news off again. I'm sick and tired of all the garbage. I don't know. You need to know. I don't know where our world is going, but I know somebody who does, and I'm on his team. And I'm just going to ride with him. You know? See, look at the beauty. Look at the beauty. How about the next one? You go to God for guidance. You go to God for guidance. You don't go to your friends. You don't go get some self-help book. If you want to read a book to get some help, read the Bible, okay? All right? If you need some help from a book, read the Bible. You know, my goal right now, just so you know, my devotional I'm doing right now for my spiritual goal, I'm reading through the Psalms. And I'm not reading through the Psalms. I'm reading Psalms. Just so you know what chapter I'm on? I've been a week at it, right? I've been a week at this. I'm beginning chapter 3 today. Because I'm reading the Psalms. It's not a race to get through it. I'm reading the Psalms for guidance. Let God speak. We need to let God speak to us. We need to let God guide us. I'm going to tell you, you got some bright ideas. You may have got a bright idea. I had some bright ideas in my life. They faded pretty quick. Anybody been in that one? You know, man, this looks like the right way. This looks good. Then you get down there, it's like, man, what in the world was I thinking? Anybody ever go, what in the world was I thinking? Anybody ever get in one of those attitudes, moods? See, I want to challenge us. You know, we got to back up, you know. Turn on the TV and, oh, I get wisdom from the view. I get wisdom from the Five on Fox News. You know, you take either one you want to go to, you know. TV personalities. I'm going to tell you, God's going to guide your life. I told the worship team this morning, I heard somebody this week, and he had this statement. I can't quite say it like he said it, but I say it this way. You may not know where you're at, but God knows where you're at and where you're going. Think about that. You may not have it all figured out. You may not know what's going on in your life, frustrated right now. You may be worried, stressed, hurried, all this stress stuff going on in your life, and you may not get it. But I'm going to tell you who does. God does. And God knows who you are right now and where you're at right now. And you know what else he knows? He knows where your tomorrow is. And then that tomorrow after that. And the tomorrow after that. See, we got to trust God. He guides me along the path of righteousness for the sake of his name. He guides me. God guides you. God will lead you. You know, if you need wisdom, ask. Ask. You know, let me give you a little hint. I don't care how smart you are. You still don't have all the wisdom you need. Anybody ever make a decision and then all of a sudden you get all new information? You know, I sit on a school board and I have to make decisions and I crave information. Give me the information. Let me digest. Let me figure this out. And then I'm going to make a decision. Then after you make that decision, you get down the road about 6 months later and you look back on it. That was a decision. Anybody ever do something like that? Wisdom. Wisdom. I like this passage here in James. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask your neighbor. The TV personality. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I like that part, to all without finding fault. You know what that implies to me? That I made a bad decision. That's what that says to me. God's saying, yeah, you made a bad one. Let me help make the best one next. Doesn't that sound better? And we need to see this. We need to let God speak to us. Let God guide us, you know. Let me give you a little, it says ask, so pray. Let me give you a little hint here. You sit down, you think, and you pray. And then you be quiet and you listen. All right? Now, a lot of us will do this. God, I need wisdom. Thank you. I got it. Anybody? You didn't wait for an answer. You got to stop and you got to listen. And then you move when you sense the presence of God guiding you. That might mean you might need to wait a while. Anybody make a decision? If you would have just waited a week, it would have made a big difference. Anybody? If I would have just waited a week, I would have learned this. God knows the right time to make the right decision. You let God hurry. Let God guide you. Let God direct you. Let's move on. You trust God in the dark valleys. You trust God in the dark valleys. You come to church to be encouraged. I'm going to pop that bubble right now. You know what? You're going to have some bad things in your life. You know, things are going to go wrong. Let me give you some insight. Some things are going to go wrong in your life. Did you know that? It might even be today. I don't. But we have losses in our life. We have hurts in our life. There's things that go wrong in our life. People lose jobs. People lose loved ones. People lose financial security. We have all this stuff going on in our life. There's dark places in our life. There's times when things are just crushing our heart and killing our spirit. But God, but God. Look at what David said. Even though I walk through the dark valley of death, because you are with me, I will fear no harm. Your rod and your staff, they encourage me. I fear. You know, it's real interesting. There's two ways to respond in the dark times. You can either grieve or you can have fear. That's it. There's two ways to respond when darkness. So you either grieve or you have fear. And here David says, I have no fear. I have no fear. I'm going to tell you, if you don't grieve, you're going to carry some baggage with you. You hear me? If you don't grieve, fear is bad. But non-grieving is bad too. I've always said this. I've never forgot this. One of the very first funerals I ever did, a young man was killed in a car accident. And the mother was kneeling by the casket, just crying, just heartbroken. It was her son. And somebody walks up behind her and puts an arm on her and says, "Don't cry." I told her not to cry. And it broke my heart. Because that hurt. That hurt. I always find it interesting. Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus. And he's going to say, "Lazarus, get up." And guess who gets up? He's dead. Gone. He gets up. He knew that was going to... And yet when he went to the tomb, what's the scripture say? He wept. He wept. My wife always made our kids give a scripture reference when they did something wrong. You know, when they're beating on one another, come and apologize and give me a scripture. Guess what one they always gave? He wept. Yeah, you can memorize that one, right? That's not your memory verse for this week, though, okay? It's okay to grieve. It's okay to hurt. You're in a dark place, and it hurts. And it's okay to grieve. Don't stay there. God, does it say? God is with you. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." In those dark times, I can tell you stories in my life when we have a house and it took us a long time to find that house to move into Salida, and the lady decides she wants to give it to her daughter. And so she gives us a 30-day notice. You want to try to find a house with a 30 in Salida back in the 80s before they started building all the homes? There was none. I had 30 days to find a place to live. We looked, we searched. Had a lead over here. I called them. They said, "No, we're not going to move. Da 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 da." Because I, you know, knowing all the people in town, I was getting hints. You know what I found? I found another house that had a 30-day notice on it. The guy said, "Yeah, come and live here. Well, pay me a deposit and rent and everything. Live here." So I moved over there, and I had a 30-day reprieve. And then I finally found a place in Salida again. What was neat about that reprieve is this. I went over there and lived in that house, my wife and the kids and all of us. He needed help to fix that house up. So guess who he paid to work on the house when I needed money? Paid me. Fixed some plumbing, replaced some termite damage. God used that situation, shadow of darkness, to provide some financial need in my life. Isn't that good? In those shadows, in that darkness, let me ask you, anybody ever been afraid of a shadow? Anybody? Remember us kids? The scary shadow in the room. Anybody remember the shadows in the room? Anybody scare you? You know what it takes to make a shadow? Somebody said light, right? Well, here's an idea. How about this? Don't look at the shadow. Look at the light. And who's the light? I'm the light. Isn't he? Take your eyes off the darkness. Take your eyes off the shadows and put your eyes on God. That sounds good to me. I don't know about you, but I like that. There's going to be dark times in your life. There's going to be times in your life that hurt and painful. That God is with you. Put your eyes on Him. Focus on Him. How about this next one? Let God be your defender. I got to hurry up, guys. Let God be your defender. Let God fight your fights. Real quick. Let God fight your fight. Our world is full of fights right now. They're fighting everywhere. I don't care what country you go to. Even in America, they're fighting. It's all jacked up. Wherever you go, man, it's a mess. Europe, America, everywhere. We're all fighting. But I'm going to tell you what. How about you? Anybody fighting with you? Somebody, well, let's use today's terms. Anybody being bullied by a neighbor, a student? How about anybody being misunderstood? Anybody ever been misunderstood? Misjudged? Anybody here ever been criticized? Anybody have a friend that never knew how to say something nice to you? Wasn't a friend very long, right? Anybody ever been picked on? Buck tooth, big nose, that's me. You know, that's what I mean, I can tell you a story. Come on, we've all been in that boat. Let God be your defender. Look at what it says. You prepare a banquet for me while my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I like that part. Again, my sarcasm. You guys know I'm a sarcastic person, right? You guys have been around me long enough. Some of you don't know, but I am a sarcastic person. I like that. You prepare a banquet for me while my enemies watch. I love that part. Ha ha, look at me, guys. I don't think that's what God wants, but that's what I think about. You know, it's like, yeah, but look at me. You know, I don't think that's what God likes, but that's my sarcasm. But listen, what do you do? What do you do when somebody texts you that horrible statement, huh? What do you do when you get that Facebook post that just, and you're sitting there and you go, give me my thumbs. Huh? What do you do? How do you respond? You know, they said it, so I'm going back. Let God be your defender. I'm going to tell you something. I've been involved on the school board, sanitation board. I've been involved as a pastor. You know, as a pastor, you never get criticized. It's always just an easy flow. Everybody loves you. Nobody ever says anything negative. You know, no, there's no post. Nobody ever hands you a letter that just, oh, man, you know, just cuts your knees off. And matter of fact, just cut your head off while they were at it. You know, went a little higher. But I'm going to tell you what, I've never responded. I'm not. I was going through, you know, like I said, I wanted to journal again. So I went through some of my old journals, and one of my journals I was writing, somebody had wrote some stuff and texted me and asked me some questions. You know what, I was reading it. It was fun because I hadn't seen that. It was by accident I found it. And it was. I simply put down here, you know, we need to get together and talk. That's it. I didn't answer them. I didn't respond. I didn't attack back. I just said, you know, let's get together and talk. That's all. God's going to defend me. I'm going to tell you what. Here's my thing. God can do a much better job at it than me. All right? You know, I can maybe hurt somebody with words. But man, God has a lot more power than just words. You know? I was talking to my dad the other day, and my grandma. I've shared this story. Some guy cheated my grandma. That doctor was murdered that had cheated my grandma. Was murdered one night. The murderer's name was Punch Anna. All right? Very common name in America, right? You know, there's a lot of Punch Annas around, right? Guess what my grandfather's name was? Punch Anna. He wasn't the murderer. So my grandma in her mind goes, that was God getting that man and taking care of that man. You know, now I never pray for bad things to happen to people. Sometimes I would like to, but I never do. Because God can do that stuff. God can be your defender, okay? Let God defend. Don't text back. Don't Facebook back. Don't get all this blow-up stuff over the internet. You know, people hide behind that. They say stupid stuff. Laura and I will sit there. Laura will go, look, can I respond? Or Laura will go, can I forward this? Anybody ever want to forward something you shouldn't? Come on now. Don't sit there like you're innocent. You know? Let God be your defender. Look at David. So if you're suffering, I almost skipped a verse. How I love you, Lord. You are my defender. The Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress. My God is my protection. And with him, I am safe. He protects me like a shield. He defends me and keeps me safe. Think about it. A little humility, a little faith goes a long ways when you're being attacked. Let me look at this last verse. So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. Trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. Let me get this last one real quick. Expect God to finish what he starts for you. Here's the good news. God's not done with you yet. God's not done with me yet, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm sure glad he's not. I still have some rough edges. Some of you go, you probably have a lot more than you think you do, Gary. But yeah, I probably do. And we all have it. God's not done with us yet. Look at what it says. Certainly goodness and mercy will stay close to me all the days of my life, and I will remain in the Lord's house for days without end. Anybody worry about the future? I'm going to call it the what-ifers. Well, what if I lose my car? What if I lose my house? What if? Now, these are things that I think about, all right? After getting the 30-day notice, I can't wait to pay my house off so nobody can take it away from me. What if I lose my job? What if I get sick? If. Anybody ever worry about that what ifs? God knows the future. God has you. God is good. I love the shepherd. He's got this shepherd psalm here. Let me paint a picture here real quick. The shepherd is out in front leading the sheep. Now, sheep are not really good followers, right? Anybody on board with that one? Sheep are like herding cats. Anybody? You know? And so the sheep are following. But the shepherd also has a couple of dogs. Anybody have sheep dogs? Anybody ever seen a sheep dog? Yeah. Has a couple of dogs. Those dogs are behind the shepherd at the back, keeping the sheep together. You know what those dogs' names are? How about this? Goodness and mercy. Jesus is in front leading you. Goodness and mercy is behind you, taking care of you. Doesn't that sound good? That's God. That's the future. God has it. Trust Him. Challenge for you this morning. You can do life your way. Take it by a bull by the horns. And I'm going to wrestle life, and I'm going to fight life, and I'm going to take it down, and this is my life. And you can take life by the horns and just kind of wrestle it all around. Or you can step in with Jesus and walk with Him. That's your choices. Put a little passage here that kind of paints for you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anybody know what a yoke is? A yoke's this big old, like a 2x4, 4x4. It's got a little couple of loops in it that they put the animals in. You know, put the cow, the bull in one, and there's another one. What he's saying is this. I have a light load. I don't have much I'm carrying. Why don't you bring all your stuff, all that worry and hurry and pluralism and all that stuff, why don't you bring that and stand with me? Just get in the other side with me. And guess what? I'll help you pull that. Doesn't that sound nice? That's what he's sitting here painting a picture for us. You're here this morning and it's stress and you got all this stuff in your life. And I want to tell you, will you step in with Jesus? Let me tell you, when you step into that yoke, when you walk into that yoke, I can tell you what one thing's going to happen. You're going to go in the right direction. Because you're hooked to Jesus. You can't get off. You're not going to fall in some ditch. You know? You're not going to run too fast. Because you can't. Because you're yoked to Jesus. So I want to ask you this morning, shepherd. Is it Jesus? Your physical health depends upon Jesus. How you doing? How you doing? Worry, stress, hurry, attack, I don't know. Will you step in to Jesus this morning? Let's pray. You know, as our heads are bowed, Lord, we just come to you to seek you and hear from you. You know, as our heads are bowed and you're here this morning, maybe life has got you by the horns right now. Maybe life is kind of tossing you around. You're getting beat up with worry and stress. You can't seem to get everything done. And you just see all the ugliness. And maybe you're in a dark place. Maybe you've been just kind of wondering where God is. I want to tell you, he's right here. Right next to you, saying, step in. Step in. If you want to step into Jesus, say, God, I need you to help me carry. I need you to help me carry my worry, God. I need you to help me carry my worry, God. I need you to help me carry these attacks. Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Just shoot your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these who life is getting the better of right now. Kind of tossing them around. Lord, I ask that the Good Shepherd step into their heart in a special way. And for others here, Lord, who are just around trying to figure things out, that your Spirit will refresh them. That they'll see your goodness and mercy. That they'll experience your love. That they're not here alone and on their own, but with you. Encourage hearts. Let them see the beauty of all you created. Let them feel the rest that your Spirit can refresh. Let them see the rod in your staff that guides and protects. Let them feel you, the defender, standing in the place. Be with them in a special way. Touch their hearts as they stand with you in the yoke. In Jesus' name, amen.